Welcome to Red Cell Review. Today we are joined by Al Ravage. Al Ravage has been on the show a few times, right?
Yeah, a couple of times.
You've been on the King Diamond show, then you talked about your last album that was out. And now you have another album out with the band Ravage called Spider on the World.
It's coming.
It's coming. And I pre-ordered my record, so that better be in the mail, hopefully by tomorrow.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Is it coming yet? What is it here? What's going on? When am I getting this record?
It's coming out on the 19th. So we just compiled all the pre-orders. We spent a night or so signing all the stuff that's going to be signed for it. And there's a lot of extra junk we're putting in there. So.
Oh yeah. Okay. What kind of? Can you tell us what kind of stuff we're going to get?
Well, if you pre-order the vinyl version, which is a double vinyl, it's a double color vinyl. Yeah. It comes with a full color lyric book. You get a couple of stickers, exclusive stickers. There's like a Frozen logo sticker, which is for the man-made Ice Age song. And you get a postcard, because, you know, of course, everybody still writes postcards. Right? And you get a guitar pick, which is signed by two of the two guitarists in the band.
Oh,
not the bass player.
Maybe he can send his fingers on the next album.
Yeah, you get a finger of the bass player. Yeah. A couple of his nails.
Yeah.
And what else am I missing? And it comes with a poster. So it comes with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, jeez, you got a whole big package there. I didn't know. Yeah. All I know is I was going to get the record. So that's pretty cool to see. I'm going to get all this extra stuff. Yeah. And hopefully I get some more because we're such good friends, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what we can throw in there, yeah.
Yeah. And I think you guys just released a new t-shirt as well. And I believe I pre-ordered that too. So, yeah.
Yeah, we just put everything updated the website. So we got the album cover t-shirt now. We got a long sleeve shirt. We got a short sleeve shirt. And we got hoodies for the first time.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. I'll probably have to grab a hoodie as well because my Halloween hoodie is starting to die. So I need a new hoodie. Can't get enough of the hoodies. And it's hoodie season too. So, you know, springtime coming. Yeah, definitely. So are we ever going to see a CD version? Because you got the vinyl version.
That's still being debated for some reason. I wanted to put out a CD, you know, a very limited edition CD.
Yeah.
And the rest of the band was like, you know, maybe we should wait until the, you know, the vinyl sell out, try to get people to buy the vinyls. Cause you know, we put a lot into these vinyls.
Yeah.
You know, basically there's no way we can make money on the vinyls. They spent so much money on the vinyls.
Oh my God. So, really?
Yeah. Even if you sold out all the vinyls at the, you know,
wow.
The asking price, I don't think we can make money with the vinyls.
Yeah.
Because we put so much stuff into them in their 180 gram vinyls. They're like collector's edition vinyls. Yeah. So I think when I came up with the idea for the vinyl, I kind of thought of it as a loss leader. Like, you know, it'll be like the special thing, and then we'll sell some cheap CDs or shirts or something.
Right.
To try to make the money back. But, yeah.
Do you at least break even with the records?
It'd be tough.
Yeah, really?
It'd be really tough. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we spent a lot of money on those vinyls.
Yeah, well, they look nice.
The idea of the vinyl was just to have something that is special and is a collector's item. Because I think we understand that most people are probably going to stream it for free.
Yeah.
So the vinyl does come with two extra songs and four total extra tracks, two instrumental intros and two extra full songs. So about 14 minutes of extra music that you won't get digitally on CD.
Oh, very cool.
Unless we put a CD out that's a special edition, end up putting that on, which is under debate. You know?
Yeah.
But at least in the digital version, you're not going to get two of these songs,
right.
Two of the intros. So it's supposed to be a special thing for the vinyl, but everybody's going to have access to the digital version starting on the 19th of this month, Friday the 19th.
Okay, very cool, very cool. Spider on the World, where did that word, that title come from?
It's funny because the original title for the album was going to be a double album, which we were debating because everybody said, oh, it'd be stupid. It's a dumb idea to put on a double album. We end up putting on a double vinyl. But...
Yeah. Could have been a quadruple vinyl at this point. Yeah.
It was supposed to be called Ravage the Earth and Ravage in Peace.
Right.
Ravage the Earth is one of the songs in the album, which you get if you get the vinyl version. That's one of the extra songs.
Ah.
Ravage in Peace is one of the songs in the album that you get. But at some point, and we actually had two different cover arts.
Oh, okay. Really?
So for the idea that we were either going to put out these two separate albums or the double album, two artworks. So we had two artworks, and you get the two artworks if you buy the vinyl. So buy the vinyl.
Why didn't you save the other one for the next album?
Well, you know, we'd try and make the vinyl special. You know? That's why we lost all this money. So we're going to call it Ravage the Earth and Ravage in Peace.
Yeah.
And then when it became more of an idea of, well, let's not do the double album. What should the album be called? And we had these two artworks, and one of the artworks was a spider destroying the world, and one of the songs was Spider on the World. It was kind of like, okay, we'll just call it Spider on the World. So it was not meant to be that obvious, you know, Captain Obvious, Spider on the World, but it ended up being that, you know, very Spinal Tap way.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very Spinal Tap-ish. I was listening to another podcast. I hate to say the name because I don't like to put other podcasts down, but it's a bad podcast. And we were on one of their episodes together, my band, Severed Angel, and your band, Ravage. And they were doing our albums, and they start talking about Spider on the World, and they're just like making fun of it kind of thing, you know, and I'm like, yeah, that's funny, but it's metal, you know, this is what metal does. Like, what don't you understand? Like, everything's kind of like tongue in cheek, and there's always humor in metal, you know, nothing's ever so serious. So I don't know. That show's a very strange show.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I figured you would.
Yeah.
But anyway, so are these all new songs? Cause I know you guys got tons of songs that, like, I mean, they were released earlier on, like demos and stuff like that, but I know you did the Spectral Rider thing, and those were some re-recordings. So is there all these new songs, or is there some from older albums, or
a couple of the songs are brand new that were worked on you know, right before we recorded, like probably a month before we started recording. We had the demos of these songs, and we started working on them and getting them together. But most of the songs have been kind of been kicking around throughout the years, even recent years, and some go way back. So the songs Ravage in Peace, that's basically a brand new song. Man-Made Ice Age, that's a brand new song. Sign of the Spider, that's a brand new song. But a lot of the other songs, like Spider on the World, actually is a song that goes back to 2002. So it's 20
years. Oh, wow. Wow.
It's just been reworked a bit. We had a demo, but way back then. That didn't really get very far. You know, I think we probably only made 50 copies of it or something. But that was on a demo as far back as 2002. We used to play that song.
Wow.
Maybe even 2001 we were playing that song live. Yeah.
Jeez.
So a couple of the songs have been kicking around. One of the songs, Corruption of Blood, we never even demoed, but it had been around in the band for, again, probably 20 years in different forms. And then Face of Infamy was another song that we had a demo of 2001, and we decided to re-record it for this. So, yeah, there's a couple of ancient songs, some brand new songs. With us, there's always a pile of material that's getting kind of recycled and redredged and reworked.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
this finally takes care of most of our backlog of stuff. 20 years.
So. Oh, really? So now anything you're going to do is going to be fresh new music? Pretty much.
That's under debate. You know, there's always
okay. There's always going to be all right.
A couple of songs that we actually wanted to record for this album that we didn't, so those might be buried forever, or they might end up on the next one. You never know.
Hey, that's cool, man. You know, to take songs from like that long ago, for almost over 20 years ago, and to, you know, bring them up now and update them and or whatever, and it's cool because the song this new album is really good. I like all your albums. It doesn't matter, you know, every song's really good. This album though, I think it's really good from start to finish. There's no filler on here at all. I also noticed are you doing some little different things with your vocals a little bit?
Oh yeah, a lot of experimentation on this one.
Yeah. What was why did you want to do that? Because I liked your vocals before, but now I like how you're doing it on this album. I think it's really good. I like the little changes that you're doing.
You know, I don't know what it was. I think it might have been because we did some of the recording during the pandemic, and most of the recording during the pandemic, and the vocals. This is the first time I've ever engineered the vocals myself. I didn't have anybody with me doing the vocals. So I had a lot of time to do it, a lot of time to play around with stuff and to kind of push the boundaries of what I've done before. And, you know, like listening to the recent Judas Priest stuff, I was kind of inspired by that. Because I'd be like, sing along to it in the car, and I'd be like, well, I've never really tried to do that on a record. You know, push myself to do some of the higher vocals.
Yeah, I noticed.
Stuff like, you know, sing along to stuff like the old Sanctuary stuff and even King Diamond. So, you know, I said, can I attempt this? You know, and if I, and I can, as I'm doing this recording, you know, I can always erase it. I can always, you know, you can always not use it.
But right.
Actually, there was a lot of stuff on there, extra stuff that we didn't end up using because we kind of handed this big pile of stuff to Peter Ruccio, who's the mixer and producer, you know, by de facto producer.
Yeah.
And we said, you know, if you think this stuff doesn't sound good, you can cut it out. If you want to use any of the stuff, you can. And in fact, I was doing a lot in the song Spider on the World. I was doing a lot of background stuff. Like I wanted to do a lot of high stuff that was like the background stuff in Love Bites by Judas Priest.
Mm-hmm.
Background screams.
Yeah.
And I did some kind of black metal vocals for the background, like whispers that we're going to use. And he ended up taking that and using that as the second verse, which was not the plan. It was like he took out all the singing from the second verse, cut it out, and used the black metal backing vocals as the verse. And so we thought, oh, that's pretty cool. That's different. It's something we've never done. That's just an example of how we kind of push things with this and kind of stretch the boundaries of what we've done before. And, you know, like it or not, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I think you did a really good job with the vocals on here, and I just can't wait to see what else you're going to do, because if you feel comfortable now, like doing, you know, venturing out into, I guess, kind of unknown territory for you in a little bit, you know, because there's some screams on the album, I'm like, he's never done that before, that's pretty good, you know, so hopefully you continue on with that. Are we frozen again? I keep freezing.
For a second, I missed that line.
I don't even know what you missed, but you...
You kind of froze.
Oh, the vocals are good. You're doing a good job on the vocals. I really enjoy the vocals on this one. And hopefully you continue for the next album. What was I going to say? I was listening to the album. I'm only going to listen to it once. I want to wait till I get the record. I want to hear it on the record. So I've only listened to the promo once today. So I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. But there was one song in there. I'm like, why do I recognize this song? And it was Amazon Burning. Why did you decide to release it on this album? Was it always supposed to be on this album?
So we released this EP during the pandemic called The Worldwide Resistance, and it met with a lot of resistance. it was not a popular release.
I wonder why. I mean, the cover.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
And I think we thought Amazon Burning was a good song, and we wanted to have another short song on the album because the songs were getting a little bit long from the stuff that we included. And this was not, it wasn't so much a re-recording. We recorded a couple of things, but it was more just a remix of the song. So why we included it, I can't tell you 100% why, but I just think it was kind of a song that didn't get its due, and we kind of buried that EP. And and so that's probably the only song I'm going to hear from going forward from that, even though I really like the songs from that EP.
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
So they may see the light of day in some other form later down the road or something. But...
Is it because I'm on the cover?
Yeah, it could be. There are a lot of people on the cover. I'm on the cover, unfortunately.
I think it's because I'm on there that people recognize me, especially with the mask on and these stupid headphones that I wear. What's that?
People just did not like that cover. That was probably half the criticism was the cover.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. You drew that yourself, right? You drew all those people.
Yeah, exactly. do that myself. It took a lot of hours, but
yeah, that sucks though. You put all that work into it, and people tell you it sucks or whatever, and they don't like it. You know?
That's what you do. That's why we do this. You know?
Exactly. But art's very subjective, so you know it doesn't matter what they like. It matters what you like.
Somewhere down the road, somebody might appreciate it. And say, he's a handsome guy on the cover. You know? Behind the mask.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. And so now the guys recording this album are all the original members? Or most of them?
Well, when you talk about original members, we go back
I know, yeah, you guys got like thousands of original members. I mean, yeah. which original members are we going back to on this album? I'm just going by what the promo thing says.
Okay, so as far as the lineup goes, me and my brother Eli, who plays guitar,
yeah,
we've been there since the beginning.
Yeah,
And then Nick, the other guitarist, he joined us in 2001. So that's been pretty solid for the last 25 years.
All right.
Our bass player Tommy G, he's been in and out of the band. I think he started filling in for us in 2006. But he officially became a member just probably about 5 years ago.
Hmm.
He just filled in on a couple of shows, and we had known him for a long time. But he kind of officially joined about 5 years ago. And our drummer, Antonio, Tony, he's been with the band probably about 5 or 6 years. So that's been pretty solid for the last half decade, but that's pretty much the lineup going forward. I don't know if we'll ever change members again, but that's
never say never. There's always a possibility. What are you drinking?
A beer.
It's a nice a little battle jacket you got there, by the way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Who you got on?
Years. It's actually good. Got a patch signed by Udo Dirkschneider.
Oh really? Cool. Where'd you get that signed?
He played at the Worcester Palladium probably 4 or 5 years ago. It was on the Dirkschneider tour. And they basically were giving away the meet and greet tickets.
For like, really?
So everybody at the show basically went to the meet and greet because it was like an extra $20 to meet and greet him.
Wow.
And just pulled it over and said, can you sign this? And he signed it.
All right.
The Faceless World eye patch.
Very cool. I like that album. That's a very good album. Yeah,
my favorite
album. I'm surprised he is still going around. Like, he's still doing what he's always done, and he's like 100 years old, and like,
yeah.
But he just still like does it, you know. And I guess he loves it because now he's doing music with his son.
Yeah,
and,
his son's a drummer.
Yeah, he's just kicking ass, man. You know, I somebody like him, I thought he'd be done by now, but no, he's just still kicking ass. And except they're just, I don't know, I think they're like failing. You know, the longer they go, I think it's just like, you know, I think we got to end this soon, which is a shame because they're putting out really good albums. They're pretty consistent, but it's just getting like, you know, it's old and ready, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as they still play the songs I want to hear, I'll go see them. So.
Yeah. I still like, I'll still buy the albums. I think I just bought the last one too, so it doesn't matter to me. I still like them. I don't know. But for you guys, you are making this music. It's like, you know, the old school, you're carrying the old school heavy metal sound. And you did up it a little bit on this album, I think. Do you think you would ever like go a little bit even more modern, or you kind of just want to stay in the new wave of traditional metal sound?
I guess it depends on what you mean by modern, because we've always kind of embraced the modern production, which a lot of kind of the new wave of traditional heavy metal or retro bands don't always. Yeah. We never intentionally had a retro sound. Sometimes we had a sound that's so bad people thought it was retro. But we never intentionally tried to say, oh, let's make this sound, you know, like it's from the 70s or something. Although, you know, going forward, we might try to, you know, get a more organic sound just for the hell of it, or, you know, or change the sound from what we've got. But we've kind of embraced the modern technology as far as recording techniques, reamping stuff, and you know, trying to get the best, clearest drum sounds and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we may go in different directions with that, but as far as the music goes, we've always just kind of written songs that, you know, by the music that we were influenced by. So that classic sort of very melodic stuff has always just come through because those are our favorite bands, Dio and Iron Maiden and Judas Priest. I don't think we're going to ever go in a death metal direction. I don't think we're ever going to go. I guess within the band, our drummer Antonio is pushing us to be more traditional metal, more British heavy metal. So we'll see how that goes. But everybody in the band has kind of their own extremes and their own place within the traditional metal spectrum. So like Nick, the guitarist, he's more in the thrash and power metal corner.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli, the other guitarist, he was into power metal, but he also went into black metal. And then he's just into like old school, early 80s traditional metal. And then me, I'm into more like the mid 80s, early 80s, late 80s traditional metal and hard rock stuff. And then Tommy G, the bass player, is into kind of everything. So we kind of just, you know, these influences bounce off each other and we kind of stay within that globe or spectrum of traditional metal just by default because that's what we like.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think we're going to make a reggae album. Or,
oh, man, I was hoping so. Yeah. You'd be the first reggae metal band. I mean, is there a reggae metal band? I don't know. I don't think there
is. But you never know. You
never know. There's always a possibility. There's room to do everything.
Use our minds and do
it. Yeah, because we know how accepting the metal community is, too. So I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anything different, Bill.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, God, I just cost you some sales. I'm sorry. No, please, everybody needs to really pre-order the Ravage album. Where can people go to pre-order? We're not done yet. I just want to get people to pre-order this thing now.
The easiest way is to go right to our website, ravagetheearth.com. That's ravagetheearth.com. You put the www in there first, and then ravagetheearth.com. Yeah, because that'll have a link to our merch site where you can get our t-shirts, pre-order the album. It is going to be on Bandcamp. It is going to be on iTunes. It's going to be on all those things. But if you want the physical copy, you got to get it through us. Or if you're in Europe or Japan, you can get it through one of the two distributors who've kind of signed up with us. You can get it through Underground Power in Europe, and you can get it through Rockstack Records in Japan.
Ah, very cool, very cool. How'd you wind up with those deals?
Basically, they bought albums from us wholesale before, and I asked them if they want to carry some, and they said sure. So
it's nice when things work out like that, you know.
Yeah, they were nice enough to actually, you know, pre-order some stuff, so they're gonna have it. I think other shops will carry it after the release, but if you want to pre-order it, you know, when you're overseas, you can get through that.
Yeah, very cool, very cool, guys. It is so expensive to ship to from the U.S. to anywhere outside of the U.S. Somebody asked me the other day because I put up some CDs that I had on just some stuff that I found randomly, and some girl from the U.K. asked me how, you know, if I had stuff available. I was like, yeah, but shipping's going to be like, you know, $15 a CD. It's like more than what the CD costs, you know. It's like,
yep.
So I did have a friend that lived in the U.K., so I gave him a couple CDs of my old band, and he was selling them for me. You know, I had somebody to, you know, take away from the shipping costs a little bit, you know. But he ended up moving here to the United States, so I lost that.
Yeah, it's been pretty insane. We've been learning the shipping nightmare that it's been.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And we thought we had kind of an edge on it because our guitarist, Nick, runs a clothing shop, like a gothic metal clothing shop up in Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
So he does some international shipping and stuff. So we thought, oh, you know, he knows what it's going to cost. And right. Then, and of course, Antonio is big into the whole record scene, you know, vinyl records. He goes to record shows and everything, and he ships a lot of records. So we thought we had an edge on it. And then all of a sudden, we're figuring out how much this stuff is costing to ship. And it's like a whole other, you know, a whole other game.
Yeah, there is no media mail outside of the U.S.
It's crazy. there.
Yeah, there's no media mail outside the U.S.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's so insane. I hate it. What's the clothing? Because you worked with that clothing shop with the other one of the other album releases, right? I think the last EP or whatever you released, right?
Yeah, they've always carried our records. Shop's called Die With Your Boots On.
Right, right. Okay.
I made, and basically, they carry some music, but it's mostly gothic clothing and heavy metal shirts and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So at least you got something there, too. That's cool. That's in Salem, Massachusetts?
Salem, Massachusetts. If you ever go up to Salem, you know, for tourism purposes, Halloween stuff, Die With Your Boots On is the shop.
So it's in that little town of Salem?
Yeah, like, exactly. It's a city. I mean, it's a full-size city, and, you know, it's known for the witch trials and all the Halloween festivities.
Right. I've been there twice. Yeah, I went there twice. I went there for two Halloweens, I think. It's a really cool town. I mean, it's very touristy, like you said.
Yeah.
But it's cool if you haven't been there before. But if you go there after Halloween, don't, because there's nothing going on. which I found out, you know, I'm the hard way. I'm like, where is everybody? It's like middle of summer. Nobody's dressed up.
Yeah, it's not a bad city, but yeah, there's not a whole lot going on there for tourism.
No, not at all. You would think they would keep that all year round, you know?
Yeah, I think they're maybe trying to. You know, there's a kind of Salem Horror Fest, which they've moved to more of the spring, I think.
Really? Okay.
So they're trying to do that. They're trying to keep the tourism up, so it's not just 1 month of the year. But
yeah.
Was a rest too. So.
What is the heavy metal scene up there in Massachusetts? I mean, is it are there other bands like you guys out there, or what's going on?
Well, post pandemic, it's been a little strange. A lot of the clubs have closed, and
you too, huh?
Shows as they were.
Yeah.
But there are some bands. You know, bands we share a practice space with, in the same practice complex, I should say. So there are some bands from Massachusetts, or from the New England area that kind of play in Massachusetts. There's a band, Adamantus. They're kind of a power metal band. They've been making some waves in the underground recently. They're on Cruz del Sur, which is a foreign label. So.
Okay, yeah, all right. That's why I think that name sounds familiar. Okay, yeah.
And so they play some local shows. And then there's more of a doom metal band, which is called Arch Druid, which is the remnant of this band, Reckless Force, we used to play a lot with. So they're kind of on hold because their guitarist joins CX, which is another local band, speed metal band. CX, they play a lot. So those are kind of the bands we played with most often in this area. I think it seemed like there were more bands emerging. I think there's another band, Ice Giant, is from around here. Perennial Quest. So there are a few bands.
Yeah.
Mostly on the power metal end of things, I would say.
Really? I'm very shocked. Like the European type power metal stuff, or?
Yeah, but like Dragon Force type power metal.
Really?
So like not. Not so much Halloween as Dragon Force, I guess, more like that.
Yeah. I'm kind of shocked at that because everybody always seems so like against like that power metal stuff, but I don't know. You think it's coming back?
I don't know. I think it's kind of like at this point there are like pockets of of like the music that people like that are going to stick around. Yeah. I don't know if anything is going to explode. Like, you know, there'll be a bunch of power metal bands for people who like power metal. There'll be a bunch of traditional heavy metal bands for people who like traditional heavy metal, thrash bands for thrash bands. But I don't think there's going to be these big waves of bands doing the same thing anymore.
Yeah.
It's hard to see.
Yeah. There's so many bands just trying to do this new wave of traditional metal thing. I wanted to get this band on the show. They're called, they were called something else. I forget. It was a weird name. Then they changed it to another weird name. It's called Bronze. But they're very, very good.
Yeah, Cramp.
Yeah, it's Cramp. That was the root name. Yes. I don't know why what they thought with that name.
Yeah, that was a kind of an odd name.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to get them on a show. They're very cool. They remind me kind of like you guys. They play the same similar type style or whatever. And the guitarist said he's from the band Blazing Stone, and he does a couple of the bands too. But he's all over the place. But yeah, they, I mean, every just so many bands coming out that want to do this. What's that? Oh, we froze again. Well, of course, we froze.
You're back. You're back.
I'm back. I'm here. But there's so many bands trying to, you know, do that new wave of traditional metal sound, and it's really cool to hear it. You know, it's like and especially a lot of them are younger kids too. So it's good to see that they're trying to carry on that sound. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when we started, it was kind of like, well, you know, we'll bring that kind of metal back. But right. Now it's kind of like that metal is back, you know, at least in the underground, because there are so many of these bands.
Yeah.
So you can kind of choose, you know, what bands you like too, because they're playing a variety of traditional heavy metal. Some are like straight thrash, but other ones are, you know, traditional metal mixed with black metal vocals or something. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on, a lot to choose from, and a lot of shows to see. It'd be nicer if there were more, I think, American bands, because I think a lot of these bands are Canadians. A lot of European bands, not so many American bands, but there are still a good number of American bands. Staber, I don't know if you've ever heard of those guys. Those guys are really cool.
Sounds familiar.
From California.
Yeah.
Angel Fury. Mm. So they're American bands, but most of them are on the West Coast, of course, or, you know, out in Utah or something.
But yeah, it's cool to see that. And even my other, I have another band, Phoenix Rain, we're still kind of, we're working on new music, and we're kind of, I guess, staying in that same kind of vein or whatever. We're just only two people doing it. So we don't have all these keyboards and all that crazy stuff. So we're trying to keep it the new wave traditional stuff. I was just thinking of another band. I'd lost it now. Oh no. One of my older bands, we started around the same time you guys started. And, you know, we were playing like the same traditional metal stuff, and all the bands in New York City were playing all this death metal stuff. So us playing shows, every time we played a show, it was with death metal bands. And we were just kind of like, you know, where's the bands that are like us, you know, where's all the, you know, the fans of like Iron Maiden, who wants to play Iron Maiden? And that it was dying, you know, and like you guys, you wanted to keep that going. And it was very, very hard back in those early 2000s.
Yeah, you were lucky to play with death metal bands. We had to play with ska bands or...
I would have loved to play with ska bands. Yeah. At least they had horns and trumpets, you know?
Yeah, it's something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played with some strange bands over the years.
You really had to play with a ska band?
No, we played with ska bands. We played with some experimental band from, I think, from Japan called P-Lander Z once.
Really?
I guess they're notable. It was weird because they gave out these like these bowls to the audience, and they had people chanting and whacking bowls and stuff, and the audience was like.
Well, at least they had the audience involved, I guess, right?
Yeah. They had people come out dressed as carrots and stuff.
Is that the strangest band you've played with, or is there other ones?
Yeah, that's probably the strangest band we've played with. Yeah, I don't think. Anybody else we played is ever dressed as a carrot or bean sprout or something.
Well, then you gotta play my friend's band. His band's called Frostbite BC. He's from your area. I know he's around your area somewhere.
Frostbite BC.
Yeah, they're usually like a Christmas band. They usually play Christmas time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because you remind me of the bean sprout, the guitarist or the bass. I think the guitarist, he dresses like a big broccoli. The bass player, he's a man deer. He's got the horns and stuff on him. I think the other guitar player is an elf. So you need to play with those guys. They're a stoner rock band. It'll work out. Believe me. Trust me. They're very good. When does the album come out? Does it come out on the 19th of April?
Comes out on April 19th, so that's when we're going to ship the physical copies out before then. So unless they may have already even shipped out.
No. You don't know who's shipping the album? Well,
no, I handled the I helped compile them, but the company Die With Your Boots On, they're actually shipping them out for us.
Oh, okay. So
then they're going to do that. But they're supposed to, you know, be in your hands before the release date, so they're supposed to ship a little bit early.
Hmm.
But the The digital version is going to be available on the 19th of this month, where you can get it on Bandcamp, and you can stream it. You know, if you're going to stream it for free.
Stream it for free, but don't download it for free. At least if you stream it, you're going to get something. You're going to give something to the band, but just don't steal it.
Yeah. You can always buy the downloads for $1 on Bandcamp or something if you want to.
Yeah, that too. Please, everybody, Bandcamp. We need to keep Bandcamp alive because I think that's the only thing that's really helping artists today.
Yeah,
the streaming is
crazy
not.
What they do for the artists. Yeah. I'm surprised they have been able to stay around. But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we can have our own websites, but Bandcamp has tons of bands on there. So if you're looking for a band, you're technically already on there. So you might stumble across Ravage, you know, and find the album. Yeah. And check it out, you know. So it's a good thing, and I hope it sticks around. I know it was like kind of like iffy for a while, so I just hope that that it can stay around. Because I know that band Haunt, they've been ever since they've done that, you know, the move to Bandcamp, they've been, I guess, been doing fairly well. He puts out an album almost every year, it seems like, or every other month. I don't know. He puts out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of music.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it, but Bandcamp's very cool. So everybody needs to go check out the Bandcamp. And it's, what is the Bandcamp?
That's a good question. That is a good the link on ravagetheearth.com. So just go to ravagetheearth.com.
Just go to ravagetheearth.com. You'll find everything on there. This is your band, right?
What's that?
It is your band, right?
Oh, yeah, kind of. Yeah, the problem with having a name like Ravage is that when you get to certain sites like Bandcamp, you know, the techno Ravage has taken over.
So that's true.
It ends up being Ravage the Earth, or it ends up being, you know, Ravage SWG or whatever.
Yeah. But,
yeah, that's why we've maintained the website at, you know, at some cost for a while. RavageTheEarth.com. Check it out. Basically just a link to our other site.
What do you think about websites? Do you think people even really care about websites like they used to? I mean, everything's on Facebook, but
yeah. I mean, the website is basically just you know, a link page. We tried to put some extra content on there, but
yeah. I know it sucks, man. It's like it's so hard for bands, especially. I mean, do you guys do everything on your own? I mean, you've been using Online Metal Promo for your promos, but for promotion. But do you do everything else by yourselves, or?
Yeah, we don't have a booking agent. We've never had a booking agent. We've only had a label when we were on Carthago Records back in 2005 and Metal Blade Records for a year in 2009. Yeah. So aside from that, we've been 100% independent forever. And so we've maintained the website and Facebook, and that's pretty much what we got. We book our own shows. So if you want to book the band, go to ravagetheearth.com. You know, book your birthday party. So we booked the band. We always booked all our own shows. We've always, even the Metal Blade days, we basically paid for our entire album ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
They just kind of distribute it. Mm. And that's what we're doing.
So, yeah. Very cool. I know you're shopping the album around. Is there any interest in the album?
No.
Really?
I put out some feelers to record labels, and the responses I got were that they weren't doing any more releases this year, that kind of blah blah blah. And I think we had, by that time anyway, we kind of decided we're going 100% pushing this vinyl ourselves, and then beyond that, what else is a record label going to do for us? So we had kind of committed to doing all the work ourselves. We just wanted to see if anybody would maybe put out a CD version, a special version or something, or the vinyl, if they wanted to do that in different territories. But I think aside from maybe something going on in Brazil, South America, I think we're just doing it ourselves from here on.
Yeah, interesting. It sucks, but I think it's the way to go. You know, it's the labels. I don't know if it's really worth to being on label today. Do you think?
Well, I mean, there was always a plus and a minus to being on a label. as far as the exposure they can give you.
Yeah.
You know, and it is a question as a, you know, as a, an artist, you know, is it better to be the number one priority of a small label, or to be the small fish on a big label and try to work up from there? You know, I can't tell you, having been both, having been the priority on a small label, we didn't do very well. Yeah. And having been the absolute bottom on a big label, we didn't do very well. So, you know, for me, it's not about sales. And it was maybe back way back when, you know, we wanted to be big rock stars. But now it's totally the artistic end of it, where we're just trying to make the best metal album we can.
Yeah.
And just try to be remembered for that. And, you know, try to reach the fans that we have, people who are interested in this music, and try to play some good shows. And that's our goal at this point.
Yeah.
It's not to, it's just to leave a legacy in the book of metal, not to be, you know, Bon Jovi or something.
Right. So. Which is a better way to look at it, I think, because and some people can, like, you know, some bands, they can, you know, put their album out to all these different record labels and stuff like that, and they get turned down so much, they probably get discouraged and not make music ever again, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's been like you guys, you just continue to just do what you want to do, you know? Why? I mean, it's good to have a record label, obviously, but, you know, at some point, if you do become, you know, somewhat famous or whatever, they're going to tell you what to do with your songs and stuff like that, and you, who wants that, really, you know?
Yeah, that's the downside of a label. I mean, a record label is really just a bank. So
right.
A record label is going to give you money, hopefully some exposure, promotion, but it's mostly money. So if you are in a position like we are, where luckily, you know, we're older guys now, we all have jobs. It's not, we're not a working band in the sense that we're not trying to do this as a living.
Yeah.
This is, you know, for us, it's like heavy metal fan camp, or, you know, fan camp. So, for us, it's all about the quality of, putting out something good and having, you know, people, the people we know enjoy it, you know, people who we care about, which are the fans, the few fans that we have.
Yeah.
It's not reaching that wider audience necessarily. Or if it is, it's trying to reach that underground heavy metal audience that, you know, we think would like this stuff.
Yeah.
And trying to, you know, have a legacy in that way. So we're luckily in the position where we have some money. You know, we're not people of means, but we have a little money that is our hobby money that maybe other people put toward, you know, I don't know, playing in their local hockey league or something.
Nah.
We put into this album. So this album, we've spent more money than we've ever spent on anything else in the band ever.
Really?
And just to basically to, you know, to get these vinyls physically made and to start promoting them, that's what we're going to spend it on. So we've been the record label, and we've luckily had some help from, you know, moderate sources of promotion, and people like you, and, you know, who are doing this for the love of it and fun of it, to help us get the word out. And that's all we've got. So that's all we need.
I hope so. How's the response been so far for the pre-orders? People excited for this?
I think we're pretty happy with where we've gotten with the pre-orders. We've gotten it to the people who wanted to get it. So, you know, that's what, you know, it's not about for us, you know, selling a volume of these things. It's a limited edition physical copy. And now hopefully, you know, people in that metal underground will discover the band, because even though we've been around forever,
yeah.
You know, we're not a well-known band. So, you know, we're going to get it out as best we can. And so far the, you know, the response to the people who have heard the songs has been really good, which, that's all we could ask for.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody's going to love it, but, I think this is our best work. And if you're familiar with the stuff we've done in the past, I think you're going to like this. And if you don't know us, I think you're going to like it. So, if you don't like it, you know, that's fine too. But, I think, if you're a fan of this band, I think you're going to like it.
Yeah. I think there's no way somebody that's a fan of Ravages is not going to like this new album, Spider in the World. I think it's very good. I think it's a step up, you know, it's a step up from your previous albums, and you're doing a lot of new things on here. Guitar works great. The drumming's great. Your vocals are great. Everything is just, it's just one good song after the other on the album. And I think people are really, really going to enjoy it. You got shows coming up?
At this point, we're still trying to put together some kind of release show, which I think we're going to aim more toward the summer now. Okay. Our attempts at putting something together, like we thought we were actually we're going to be able to put together a small tour, either for the summer or fall, with some kind of, you know, good legacy bands from this area, but that kind of fell through. It had been kind of teased a couple of times in the past, but it fell through again. So that's not going to happen. So now we're kind of just trying to get together a good local show with like good local bands that we know. There's a band Mount Metal, who is actually coming out with an album pretty soon. They are more of the like traditional heavy metal from this area. So maybe get something together with them, or CX, or Adamantis, or something good. We're just having trouble finding a good local venue too, because a lot of the local venues are closed.
Right.
But we will get something together for this summer. Pizza.
All right, very cool. Well, I wish the best of luck to you guys. And like I said, I've been a fan of you guys for a very, very long time. So hopefully this album is going to do very well for you.
Yeah, we hope so. Yeah. At least as far as an artistic sense, I think we've kind of achieved what we wanted to achieve. And I think with the quality of the vinyl, I think we're happy with it. So I hope that everybody out there in Metalland is happy with it.
Yeah, I'm sure they will be. Anything else you need to tell anybody?
So just go to ravagetheearth.com. There's still time to get in the pre-orders, because the pre-order is at a special price.
That's right. Yeah.
It's at a special low price. So once the album actually comes out, those limited edition vinyls are going to be about $10 higher at least. And if you get them through a retailer or something, it might be even higher than that. It might be over $50 for them. So pre-order them now to get the special low price. Also, check out my brothers and I have a punk band called Ruffian Dick.
Well, all right. Yeah, explain that name.
Actually, my older brother, who's the punk guy, he came up with it. I just played drums in the band, so I don't know.
Okay.
Ruffian Dick was this old explorer, Sir Richard Burton.
Okay.
He's an old British explorer, and he did a lot of crazy stuff. Like he once got a spear through his mouth, I guess, and survived.
Right.
So he got obsessed with this guy, Richard Burton, Ruffian Dick. And he said, "Oh, I got to start a band named Ruffian Dick." Okay. You guys got to join me. So I said, "Okay." So I just played drums in that band. But songs are really good if you like punk rock, hard rock. He calls it glam punk. It's more like Guns N' Roses type stuff.
Okay.
So check it out, Ruffian Dick. You can find us on Facebook. The album's streaming now. It's called She's Hypnotic.
She's Hypnotic. Okay. So
check that out. Also, my other band, Iron Will.
Right.
It's still around. We've got one album out, and we're hoping to start recording a new album soon. So check out Iron Will.
I gotta get that album. You have albums on you, right?
We got a CD from 2017, I think we put it out.
Okay, so you still have copies of it? Copy, yeah. All right, okay, cool.
I don't know if there's anywhere that's actually selling it anymore. We made 300 copies, I think, but that's pretty much. I probably have like 20 copies left of that.
All right. So make sure I get a copy. Make sure I get a copy.
Yeah, I'll send you.
All right, cool.
And I think that's all the projects I'm going to do.
Are you sure?
There's always something. That's... yeah, I forgot. I got my check out Thrash with Power magazine.
Okay.
This is on Instagram and Facebook. It's just my little review site.
Right. Okay.
Reviews and show reviews mostly.
All right. Very cool. Well, everybody, go check that out. Go pre-order the new Ravage album, please, at ravagetheworld.com. Right.
Ravage the Earth.
I'm sorry. Ravage the Earth. It used to be Ravage the World, right?
Well, Spider on the World.
Spider on the World. I'm getting them very confused. Okay.
Spider on the World. Ravage
Spider
the Earth.
On a. Yes. Yeah, it's not confusing at all, anybody. But yeah, please go pre-order that album, and you're going to enjoy it. And let me know what you think of it, because I think it's good. So you better too. All right. So let us know in the comments. So my arm just fell off my chair. And that means it's the end of the show. Al, thank you very much for coming on the show. I had a lot of fun, and I enjoy talking to you a lot. And you need to come on more often. We need to do some album like battles and stuff like that.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, sounds good. And everybody, we will see you next time with who knows? I don't know. But just hit the subscribe button and we will see you then. All right. Don't forget to join me on freeworld.fm every Wednesday at 10 p.m. where I do play some Ravage songs. I've played all your singles so far.
Well.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Everybody, goodbye. All right.